lesson 7. Past the halfway mark.
I'm telling you, we're cruising through.
And what that means is it doesn't matter what's happened for you up until this point. Everything's an accumulation. So even if you don't think the ball's been rolling, it has. And so if we can think of your abundance quotient here on how much you can have, even if you haven't realized it, let's say you've been a snowball, and the snowball's gone from a pebble to a couple of feet around. So your diameter's spreading out, and you're going to be receiving more because you've been spending this time getting in the flow. So I just want to remind you, you're all doing fabulous. You're all incredibly curious. You're perfect. You're perfect right where you're at, and it's only going to get better from here. So have no fear or anxiety. We will abolish it today.
Catch up on how it went last week with relationships, and I know we got yours, Kimberly. Yours is the freshest in my mind.
It was great. It was just really fun. Anytime old thoughts came up, I just really replaced them. Like, I am the luckiest. He's the most. It's all good. I mean, it's all great. I just really went extreme with it.
Mm. Seems to be working for you.
It worked really, really good. When some things would come up, we had a lot of different discussions. The whole thing with moving and buying and all that has been pretty intense. It's up to the point where he's clear how clear I am. I mean, I've just about pre-qualified for the loan amount of the home that we found that we loved, perfect home that we just love it. He's like, okay, you make it happen. And I'm like, I will. He used to look at me like, yeah, okay, Pollyanna.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's like, it sounds different. It sounds, you know, with respect and trust. So it's been good. Lots of date nights, lots of moments.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
So that's exciting. Yeah, it's just been fun. I discovered in what I wrote about that, might be really effective to turn that around on me.
Yes. Yes.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I want to speak to something, too, that you wrote in your email about the strategic attraction plan being too complicated, that you didn't feel good to do it, and so you didn't.
Right.
And that's the whole point with anything that we give you, so I'm just really, wow.
I'm really getting that.
Bravo.
And whatever it is.
Mm-hmm. Like, me too.
That doesn't work right now. And it gives me permission to come back to it when I want to, instead of like, oh, I'm so bad, I didn't do my assignment. Just a different kind of feeling.
Even if you're not writing stuff down, start noticing out there in the world things you do. Let's say for you, you were going to do a strategic attraction plan on your new house, Kimberly, and you would just start looking at every single house you looked at, every single person's house that you walked into to go have dinner or coffee, or every magazine you looked through, everything, you just like really went, wow, at all the pieces that you liked. That's enough. Now you have set in motion your intention. Every time you're just appreciating or acknowledging, ooh, I like that. That's the same thing as doing a strategic attraction plan.
Okay.
This is Maura. I had done one before, and it was really good for me because I pulled it back out and refined it, added some more things, and added some more expectations of me. So one of the things I wanted is I really wanted the type of person who likes to resolve things and have peace after conflict, as opposed to someone who goes off and stews for long periods of time. I realize I sometimes go off and stew. I put that I want to be the kind of person who likes to resolve conflicts and have peace. So I changed some expectations of myself, and I've just had a week of really making choices in the moment with relationship week, sort of based on last week's thing. I'm still pretty much with my ex-boyfriend, which is, it's really turned around since Christmas, and he's working with me on my movie, and I made the choice to, in the moment, you know, make better choices around him. And he was on the phone talking to people about our project yesterday, and my first impulse was, oh, his energy sounds low. He sounds bored. He doesn't sound very enthusiastic. And I just walked out of the room and started being really grateful that he's working on this and making phone calls I don't want to make. We got some nice results yesterday because I didn't stay there in that criticism mode. So it's just been real fun for me to realize you can make a choice to just stop a habit of judging all the time.
Good job.
Yeah. That was really interesting because I really just went, I'm having a great morning. He's doing these things I want him to do that I don't want to do, so I'm just not going to go there. You sound kind of bored and miserable.
You know, and then you can go ahead and use the work on it, and it's like, you know, is that really true that he's not rolling?
Right.
And how do you know? You don't.
You don't. Yeah. And so that's just been really good. And overall, this whole prosperity game, I think the one thing I've been working is everything in my daily life is pretty similar to the way it was before I got my movie money. I'm back to the same job. I'm with the same boyfriend. A lot of things are the same, but they're different now because I'm thinking about them differently, and they're working out better for me. So it's really interesting.
So you're being different, therefore you're attracting different results.
Yeah.
Bravo.
Yeah.
Congrats.
Thank you.
You made me think about column number four. Column number four is where you look at what it is that you need to personally do to be more attractive. And I think, Andrea, you spoke to this. I think that's where you put the dates on things.
Yeah.
An easier way of looking at column number four is kind of look at it as what do you feel most inspired to do? I think that's an easier way to look at column four. And sometimes the thing that you feel most inspired to do doesn't seem like the most logical, but it will have the biggest impact. Do whatever you feel attracted to. Sometimes it'll be the quickest thing because then you'll feel like, oh, I accomplished something. So I wouldn't put too much emphasis on, I've got to get it all done, and the only way to attract what I want is to do everything on column four. Because you don't know, you might just do one or two inspired actions, and it might open up so many different things for you. So, you know, tread lightly.
Okay.
And just stick with inspiration and your intuition and your heart, and keep it a fun process rather than something to judge yourself by. It's not what it's for. It's to guide you. To me, it's another fun way of looking at a to-do list. I've always thought of a to-do list, you know, if I cut everything up into little scraps of paper, like little fortune cookie-sized little scraps of paper, and put a to-do on each one, and then put it in a cookie jar, and then, you know, dipped my hand and I picked one out for the day, it would be like a surprise. Like, ooh, what's the thing on the list I'm going to get done today? Versus, what do I got to do today? What am I going to do on my, you know, attraction? If I'm going to get the great mate or the great customer or the great client, I'm going to have to complete my whole list. Not true.
This is Pat. I just had a thought after I did some strategic planning around myself and my husband and my art clients that I could do this on my day. I could say, what's the qualities and attributes and characteristics of my perfect day?
Nice.
What makes my perfect day? And so I haven't done that yet, but I just had that thought.
Okay, good. Does anybody have any questions about column two, what makes my perfect partner tick?
I asked him for what I didn't know.
Oh, that's
that
good.
Well, yeah.
And here's the interesting thing. Column two will always be the same as what makes you tick.
Really?
Uh-huh. And that will go for any plan you make, whether you're attracting a perfect client, a perfect mate, a perfect house, a perfect car. Whatever makes them tick is the same thing that makes you tick.
If we make it up ourselves or if we ask them?
No. Basically, you're looking at what does make me tick. What's the one thing I could not live without? For me, it's connection. I need to be connected to spirit, and I need to be connected to people. I had a client that we worked on this with, and even though she adored her family and she thought that would be what made her tick, she said she would die without learning. Like, she wouldn't want to go on living if she couldn't learn.
Interesting. So how many of you did find that that was true, that when you looked at column two, you were looking at yourself or many aspects of yourself?
This is Andrea. Now that I look at it, yeah, it's pretty close.
It's not true for me. I mean, I got like sports and wood projects and yard work and, and boats and.
So someone that could do all the things that you want to get done, but that you don't do.
Yeah, it could be. I know how to use those things, as a matter of fact.
Mm-hmm. That's okay. I put some of those similar things on my life. I want somebody who can fix stuff. You know.
Yeah. Gotcha.
Good. Anybody else want to say anything about attracting your perfect relationship?
Okay. This is Nancy. I actually didn't do it this time. This week has been so intense. But last time I was on the prosperity game, I did it relative to my husband. And it was amazing, actually, the insight I got in terms of what I want from him. Actually, I didn't use him. I used, what would my perfect husband? I mean, really, my perfect husband. But then I got to see that what I expect from him and what he can expect from me, it was actually very, very interesting. I remember saying how I wanted him to be romantic and blah, 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 blah. And I went, oh, well, you know, I could really be more romantic. I'm kind of not really doing that. And I kind of just shifted my whole vibration around it and saw how, what he could expect from me and really looked at those aspects. And kind of what you were saying, Gina, what am I really inspired to do of these? And being more romantic and playful and all those things are definitely part of it. And I swear to you, the very evening of the night that I actually did this, my vibration shifted so much that when he came home, he was so totally different with me. He was more romantic. And I was going like, this is scary. Because I just really got to see how it was me really kind of changing my whole vibration around it, that it's actually me and it's what he can expect of me that is really the most powerful thing.
That's so great. You bring up such a great point. You know, I've definitely made a lot of people upset. People will complain about their mate, especially the most open people. And I'd be bold with them and I say, you be the change. You want more romance, then you be romantic. And the constant complaint is, why do I always have to bring it to the party? Why do I always have to do everything? And it's like, because you're the one that wants it.
That's right.
And you're doing it so that you can get what you want. You're not doing it for them. Do they get to reap the benefits of your tenderness and your support and your love? Absolutely. But you're doing it for you.
Absolutely.
It's not about putting yourself out and being a total giver. It is giving, but really who you're giving is to yourself, and that way you don't have to resent if you're always the one bringing the change to the party.
But I think it also says something about having. It's like if I'm more romantic, it's like, it's almost as if I am responding to romance itself.
Mm.
So it's like about me living in the having of it, too, which I think is so great.
That's powerful. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah.
Notice that it's about doing it from an open, wanting space, not from a resistant trying to effort something into play. Because if you come from that place, if I'm going to do this to get what I'm going to do, this is what I've got to do, then it's not going to work. Just won't.
What Gina was saying about having it come from that inspired place. Is that what you're saying, Eva? Or?
Yes, absolutely. If you're doing something because you're looking for an end and you're in resistance because you're having to do it to make something happen, you're in a resistant mode, and what you're going to get back is resistance. And then you're going to wonder why it isn't working.
This also brings up another good point about the law of attraction. It's kind of like a trap, and we start trying to manipulate the law to get what I want. Like, if I just sit here and do a strategic attraction plan, I will get what I want. Or if I do this for them, then surely I'll get this as a result. That's not the point. It really won't work because everything's about vibration. It's not about doing. So really the most important thing is the reason why you do a strategic attraction plan is just to get really clear on your wants. And then it puts you in a place of power to take action and know that you're the one responsible for attracting it. It's not like you're waiting around. You are absolutely in control. And it's from a place of not pushing. It's from a place of getting more in alignment. We're doing the best that we can at practicing focusing on the things that we like, and sometimes it's very difficult in the face of someone who is just irritating you beyond belief, right? So when you notice that you're still catching yourself doing that, if you can detach in that moment, make a mental note and say, whatever that thing is that's irritating me, do I have the opposite of that on my strategic attraction plan? And then again, you can bring it back to you. Do I ever be that way? Look, that person's being very controlling right now. Am I very controlling? Or look, he's yelling. I hate yelling. Do I ever yell? Yeah, I do. Let me work on that.
I just want to acknowledge that we are at the halfway point, so wanting you all to just get checking in with what your next steps are, whether it's about a being place or an inspired action place around moving you further towards your goals, and checking in with, are the goals still the same? Because sometimes they change, or sometimes people get their goals like Judy, and there might be a new one to put in its place.
This is Sherry.
Mm-hmm.
Resistance. I'm going to come from the place of the glasses half full. I have gotten one of them very clearly. I wanted the perfect assistant, and she is here.
Mm.
And she's working for me, and that's great. But if you remember last week, we talked about some of my fears around the money piece and focusing on the numbers. I don't know if you remember because you did something.
I remember.
I heard what you all were saying about perhaps the number is too realistic, which makes it still I'm focusing on the how.
Mm-hmm.
You're
still in the how?
I'm still in the how, and I'm still in the, I don't know, all I know is I just jumped up to say, talk to me. I have nothing to say other than I'm struggling.
What would you like around your struggle?
I'd like it to go away.
Yeah.
I really would like it to go away, but I'd like to... Getting choked up, sorry.
Okay. Consider that a release. In fact, don't hold that back. So you're releasing it right now. This is the opening.
Yeah. Last week, my metaphor was that I was, my foot was on the gas pedal all the way down, but I was in park.
Mm-hmm.
And today, I've got this huge suitcase packed to go somewhere, but I've forgotten something. Mm-hmm. I just feel like I'm on this cusp, and it just feels so enormous. And I want so badly. I know that if I could lean into the law of attraction and go to that joy place, I would feel less heavy, less weighted. And the irony of this is I just did a coaching with a client telling her all these things, you know, and they sound so grand, but I'm struggling to apply them to myself.
So what would it feel like to lean in to the laws? Imagine you're up on a cliff,
mm-hmm.
and you have about five people behind you who are just mm-hmm. so... supportive of you, just like, yes, Sherry, you're so up to this. You mm-hmm. know, they're just really cheering you on. And you have a harness around your waist.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to walk out to a plank.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the plank, you put your toes right up to the edge, and they say, lean out. And what you're leaning into is trusting that you'll be held. And as you lean out, you're actually leaning into prosperity and abundance. And really what you're saying is, I am worthy. But you have a harness, so you're safe. So imagine you're leaning out, and the people are still cheering you on back there. They totally, like, love you and adore you. You think that you're just the coolest person.
I have those people.
So make their voices bigger than the fear.
Okay.
Knowing that you're held. What does it feel like to lean out?
I'm nervous that I'm not anchored in enough. That's the honest answer.
Mm-hmm.
That it's not going to be strong enough to hold me.
Look down and notice that you are still leaning forward, mm-hmm. and you're not going anywhere. You're still held.
Okay.
Like, I know that's the mm-hmm. feeling, but the truth is when you look down,
I'm held.
You're being held.
Mm-hmm.
What else are you feeling?
Excitement. Strangely, the word grounded, which is really strange to come up, but that I'm being held.
Maybe that's the thing that you've forgotten to pack in your suitcase. That knowing that you're held. And you know, one of the most abundant perspectives on packing for a vacation is to know if you've forgotten anything, it's okay because you can buy it when you get there.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And it's fresh and new.
Absolutely. Even better than what you forgot.
So, besides annihilating the anxiety, now what do you want?
I want to claim it. Claim it. I'm not sure what it is, but claim something firmly. I guess it's step into it fully, lean hard, you know, not just going with this leaning thing. I want to, how when you walk around on tiptoes versus firmly planting your feet, I want to feel solid. That's not what you asked me, was it?
Oh, you're on the right track.
Okay.
So what do you want to feel solid about?
That I'm, that what I want's coming. There's already plenty here, first of all. And that what I'm creating, maybe that it's okay to feel the enthusiasm. Maybe it's okay to let go of the fear. There's an arrogance about letting go of the fear to me.
Is there a problem with that?
Arrogance?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I know the right answer.
No.
No, of course not. But, yeah, for me there is a bit.
Because I think it would be a wonderful thing for you to be wildly enthusiastic and be so confident such that you know that you're absolutely worthy and you get to have whatever you want.
I think that summarizes what am I resistant to?
Mm-hmm.
That's it. I'm worthy of this. Jeez Louise. I even hate to hear myself say that. Okay, thank you.
Now you know what you're dealing with, though.
Yeah, I'm feeling a little embarrassed. Again, I'm going to let go of that, too.
Well, good. You can all just feel embarrassed and feel powerful in the embarrassment.
Okay.
Because if you feel the power in expressing yourself like this,
mm-hmm.
it'll outweigh the embarrassment. Embarrassment's just ego anyways. It's not your inner being.
Okay.
Because I want you to know that you just created very powerful in our space. You know how many people feel like you?
I'm hoping more than me.
Yeah.
Many.
Let's check in. Does anybody feel what Sherry feels on some sort of level at some time?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
You must be kidding. Yes, our gremlins are all back there strategizing together.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. Really. So for the rest of the call, I want you to keep breathing into your worthiness.
Gotcha.
However you're being is okay, whether you're, you know, feeling lack, whether you're feeling embarrassed, whether you're feeling powerful, whether you're feeling arrogant, whether you're feeling sassy. It's the perfect thing for you to feel right now.
Okay.
Make yourself okay.
Okay.
Give yourself lots of acceptance all the time. You're A-okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Let's say you have a financial goal, or I have another client who's working on a weight goal. Since she actually started focusing on losing weight, she's gained weight, and she's very frustrated about that. If you're experiencing no movement on one or more of your goals, it just means that you probably need to relax. It doesn't necessarily mean you have to do a bunch of stuff, or you look at the clock and you think, oh my gosh, how am I going to achieve all that in such a short amount of time? We only have so many weeks left. Remember, it could happen in a moment. As soon as you get aligned, things can happen in the most amazing ways. This isn't about efforting. And I know a lot of people tend to do that when they check in with, you know, where am I at in relationship to a goal I set. So please, if you're one of those people that you get hooked by looking at your progress, please let us know and we can do some coaching around it either today or via email. Remember, everything is about vibration. It has nothing to do with doing a bunch of things, making some things happen. It doesn't, unless you feel so inspired.
I just want to add something to that because mm-hmm. I've had two experiences. One is that I had this cat with this chronic ear infection, mm-hmm. and I put it on my list as number one in the universe, and something happened, a magazine came, and there was this thing on this magazine, and it was about a muscle relaxer thing, and I bought it, and I used it on the cat's ear, and it healed the ear like in a week, and I just took it to my vet the other day, and she's going to get one of these for other people's cats, and there was no way that I knew that. Or
right.
knew how to do that, or I wouldn't even believe anybody else who told me that. But it happened like that, like, okay, I'm going to turn this over, and I don't know how it's going to happen, and it actually did happen. And I'm just kind of like, wow, that's the possibility, that having a project and just relaxing into it and saying, okay, fine, it's going to be resolved, and I don't know how, and things show up.
That's great.
Yeah.
Perfect example.
And my vet is looking at it, and my chiropractor. I mean, I've got the community thinking about this thing now, which is cool, too. So the other thing is the projects that I'm working on, I decided the same thing. You know, when I go out to the studio and I decide to paint, I don't know where it comes from. It just comes out. So the same thing's going to happen with my other projects. Mm. I'm going to show up somewhere and somebody's going to say, would you be in this play and sing this song and play this piece on the stage? I'm going to say, absolutely. I'm just waiting for them to ask me.
Yeah, an artist in particular, because I'm not one, so I might be making this up, but it feels like because artists are so in tune with that place inside them, you guys don't make up, I'm going to draw this thing, and this, there's something about inspiration. Same thing with acting, any of the arts. There's something that comes through you that is much bigger than you. So it feels to me like it could be an easy place for you to remember to tap into for other projects when they do start to effort.
Exactly. That's exactly what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
When I show up wherever it is that that place is, I mean, there'll be a, it may be a physical place, it may be, I don't know, I could be anywhere. Then it happens. And there is no efforting, there's no planning, there's no anything. I just have my stuff around me and I show up at that place and it happens. So that's where I'm headed.
Nice place to be.
Yeah. Nothing to do.
So you guys ready to talk about health? Perfect health?
Sure.
Ideal health. Kind of health do you want?
This is a topic just like last week, and it can go in a million different directions. Health would also include anything about how you feel physically and how you look. Not just, okay, I have a health issue, I have an achy knee, but also feeling tired, energy level, anything to do with your physical body. What do you want to make sure that we touch on today? If there's any struggles that you have? Because here's what I've come to notice. A lot of times we tolerate things. It just reminds me, I'm a pretty tolerant person sometimes. It just drives me nuts. I found out that I've been tolerating something. We let things go in our home, or we get used to something being broken, like a fence or a chip on a piece of furniture, and we don't fix it. And then one day we decide we can have it fixed, or it's fixed, and we think, now, why didn't we do that a year ago? It's the same thing with our body. Sometimes we get so used to something that we don't like and we tolerate it, not even knowing that we can just let it go at any time or have it be fixed, whether it's something about the way you physically look or a health issue. And we forget, well, we have the law of attraction in our back pocket.
This is Andrea. A couple of things that are on my mind are the energy versus sluggishness, or letting the slim in versus taking the weight off. And then the other question, I'm not sure if this is exactly related, but I have images of how I want my ideal body to be plastered everywhere, but I cannot help but look in the mirror when I get out of the shower and I'm confronted with reality. So
why are you looking in the mirror?
I'm trying not to, but...
Cover the mirror with all your ideal body descriptions. Tape it all over except for a little place maybe for your face, if you want.
I like that idea. Okay. Thank you.
We will speak to that, allowing for the body that you want.
This is Mary. When I was younger, I had a lot of aches and pains and tenseness and stuff like that. And I've learned secrets over the years, and there's things I do, you know, like breathing. deep breathing, there's a variety of things that I do, and it's like my body has so little pain in it. And so I think we're probably going to talk about just allowing a comfortable, healthy body, right? I want to hear more about that.
Yeah. You do bring up a good point about breathing. If you were to do three things on a constant basis, you probably would have the most amazing, perfect health. One is to just be at peace. The other is to drink a ton of water, and the third would be to take deeper breaths and slower breaths and just constantly getting oxygen into your body. And one of the things that I heard on an Abraham tape once that really floored me, and it was probably only in the last year that I heard it, they were talking about the reason why exercise works, like if you run or you walk, and the reason why it allows you to look better is because when you do that, you're forced to breathe in a different way than you cannot do if you're just sitting there relaxing. It's too much effort. And then they took you through this whole process, you know, take a deep breath in, okay, suck more air in, more out, okay, now do it again. And they did it for like 30 seconds and I was worn out. And they said when you walk or you run or you do something physical, your body naturally takes those kind of deep breaths, and it gets you more connected. Therefore, that's why exercise works. It just gets you more connected. And it's through breathing. It's not because you're physically moving your body, but it's getting you to breathe in a different way. I thought that was pretty fascinating.
This is Maura. Along those lines, it's something Mary talked about, I have been kind of tolerating some lower back pain. I have read that sometimes has to do with money worries. But that and, you know, my first goal is to be sitcom slim. And I know a lot of us have that sort of that slenderizing kind of goal. And I wanted something even more than just the dimensions and the size and the inches being what I want them to be, I want an overall feeling of lightness. I sometimes feel, and I'm sure it's something I'm attracting or feeling, I sometimes feel kind of heavy and bloated. I wake up with that feeling. Not always, though. It's been changing. It's been shifting.
You know how we've talked in the past about acting as if?
Yeah.
So you go out and you act as if. What if you acted as if a very petite person?
Mm-hmm.
Like someone who's just, you know, not that you want to be this way, but what would a 100-pound person feel like? And I look at little people like that, and
mm-hmm.
I think, wow, like you just pick them up with one arm, and they just seem like they're so small, and they seem so light, and their clothes seem small.
Right.
And so how would a very petite person feel and be in the posture,
mm-hmm.
and how fast could they get upstairs? I mean, they have less weight to carry.
Right.
So what if you just played with it?
Okay.
I mean, acted as if you were a light person, and maybe it's not a petite person, maybe that conjures up something different, but just to feel light, like wispy.
I study improv where you do a lot of on-stage stuff, and I'm used to sort of changing my body for characters and things, so that would be kind of fun. I mean, I always feel like that's when I feel the most energized, when I'm doing that kind of work. So, yeah, I could definitely go into that person.
Oh, it's interesting, when Gina and I were in a year-long leadership program together, and one of the exercises, and we actually did it together, I don't know if you remember this, Gina, one person standing behind the other and lifting them, okay? And so you did that, just a few inches off the ground, it wasn't any big thing. And then you had the person think about being grounded and having the cord going all the way down to the middle of the earth and being solidly centered and solidly grounded and rooted in your spot. That was all we did. We just mentally visualized that, and then the person tried to lift you again, and you couldn't be lifted. That example is how the mental and the visual can immediately affect your physical. The acting as if, for anything that any of you are focused on, is to go to that place of what it will be like when that you're in the process of getting there, or acting as if you're already there. How would you be walking down the street? What's your posture like if maybe you're wanting to be 10 pounds lighter? What does it feel as you're walking down the street 10 pounds lighter? How do you think you look in your clothes? And you will emanate that, even though you're thinking about it in this red-hot moment, and even if you were to look in the mirror, you might not be able to see it. You're going to be emanating that vibration, and it's going to be picked up by others that pass you. And this is when people will start to say, have you lost weight, or you look really good, or what have you been doing? And nothing else has happened except the way you've chosen to be in your body. Has anybody had that experience?
I've had something like that. It's like I can remember, I can feel like when I was just like this perfect size 4. When I think about that, I can just get in touch with the feeling of that, and like how flat my tummy is, and like muscled arms and muscled back, and you know, so it's like, it's sort of a, for me, it's like a sense, a tasting, like you can sense it. Mm. It's more than just thoughts.
There's, oh yeah, it's feeling.
There's feeling and sense, like a sensing that goes with it. And so I can get there by using that, just remembering, like, how it feels to be a size 4.
Now, remember, this also works, obviously, the opposite way.
Which is why we hold ourselves where we are.
Mm-hmm.
Recently, I had an experience, Eva, where I had the opposite. Now, normally, I feel just fine in my body. I think I look fine. Could I lose a few pounds? Yeah, but I'd never trip out about it, and I'm just fine with it, and I'm comfortable in my body. Well, for some ridiculous reason, the person I was working out with was doing the South Beach diet. My brother's also doing the South Beach diet, so they were all weighing themselves, and I hadn't weighed myself in probably a year and a half, and I was convinced to get on the scale.
Oh, boy.
What the scale said, I did not like it for a moment, and it did not represent what I thought I looked like I weighed. And probably for the next 2 weeks, I noticed, and this is for the first time in years, I started monitoring what I was eating. You have to keep, like, slapping my hand, like, stop it. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, I'm so not doing this anymore. But I noticed how it impacted me. I felt that. It was interesting how my pants started feeling tighter that week. Probably nothing had changed.
Mm.
Probably nothing had changed. But it was where my focus was on, I do not like weighing that much. So everything started representing what that body weight felt like to me. So if you are feeling heavy and you're constantly focused on the weight, you will feel bad. You will gain weight. You will not lose weight. You will stay stuck at a certain weight because what you're focused on is the extra weight. Now, your body will respond immediately if you let go. That's the good news. It will respond so fast, it'll blow your mind, and you won't even have to try. If you've ever noticed how sometimes if you get really committed to a workout program or, let's say, a certain way of eating, it's the commitment and the solidity of, you know what, I'm going to lose this weight. You get into expecting place. That's the reason why you lose the weight. It's not the diet or anything. So it's really just about you all getting committed to letting go of this weight, or I'm healing this part of my body. Like, you've got to get in that place of where you're actually claiming health and knowing that you can allow yourself to move into that place easily and effortlessly.
So I remember listening to one of the Abe tapes, and they were talking about Esther, who had these pants, and she was noticing that the pants were getting looser. And she kept sharing with Jerry, look at this, these pants are getting looser. Jerry was smiling because he realized that the elastic in the waist was wearing out, right? But Abraham said because she really believed that it was she losing weight, it wasn't about the pants or the elastic wearing out on the pants, her body had actually started to adjust to that belief and was beginning to lose weight. So this is the power we're talking about where the focus is. It doesn't matter how you get there. It's just to get there and to be in that space. Remember, it's you get to make up the story, so make it a good one.
One of the biggest shortcuts to having a wonderful body is really starting to appreciate and love it and stop being mad at it. Like, why are you doing this to me, body, is really what's underlying when we get mad at it for an ache and pain, or if we don't like the way that we look, we're actually sending hate towards our body, and our body responds. It wants to be loved just like you want to be loved. So if you can focus, especially I'm speaking to you, Andrea, on the things that you really like about your body and how it serves you. Now, you don't have to just appreciate physical, the way it looks, but how it carries you. One of the things I did when I had a broken elbow, I had surgery on it, and I was really, first I was completely ticked off about it. I mean, it would have thought I was amputated my legs. The way I was acting. I acted so just pitiful about it because it got in the way. I couldn't work out. I was really working out a ton at the time. I was frustrated. I couldn't type. That meant I couldn't work, blah, blah, blah.
And nothing worse than trying to dress up in an evening gown with a cast on your arm.
Oh, I'm
how rude is that?
So what I ended up doing was making my cast cute. You know, I got a purple cast. And then every day I would go on a walk because that was basically the only thing I could do physically was walk. And every day I used that time to focus on the things that I loved about my body and appreciating that I could still walk, all the things I could do, and I loved that my body carried me. Because another concern at the time was, oh, my God, if I'm not exercising, guess who's going to get fat? Me! Nothing changed about my body, and I didn't work out for months. So it was really about really giving lots of attention to my body and appreciating it.
A lot of times we do take for granted what these bodies are doing for us and the abilities that we have, and that got put into my face big time when Robin, my other half, ended up with a herniated disc and could not move. I mean, he was in the bed for, this was a long 2-year process. We went through this with him, and he's 6'2", and he was so bent over where he couldn't straighten up, even just to get up and get from one place to the other, that I looked down to speak to him. I'm 5'5", he's 6'2". He was bent over. He looked like an 80-90-year-old man ready for his grave. I just so got in tuned with how much I did appreciate just the fact that I can just get up and walk in the morning, get out of bed. And I spent a lot of time appreciating my body. And this was at the time, too, I happened to be training for the marathon, which couldn't have been a better place to have been appreciating my body. But even today, I just have learned what not to take for granted. So I would really go to even the things that you think are just the day-to-day normal thing that everybody should have working for them, totally be in appreciation of the fact that you've got that ability, whatever that is. The fact that the blood is going through your veins, you know, just being in huge appreciation. And any time that you're focused in this appreciation point, your body is now moving itself and shifting itself into what you want, because your desires are already out there. You don't even have to focus on it specifically anymore.
Good news is that your body responds instantly to anything that you do. I mean, instantly. You know how when you get tense about something, we all have our different places where tension shows up. I tend to get it right in my solar plexus and in my jaw. My jaw is always my signal. I notice the only time it gets tight is when I'm listening to somebody and I don't like what they're saying and I haven't spoken to it yet. It'll start getting tighter and tighter and tighter. My solar plexus are also my signal that I'm nervous, I'm scared, I'm actually scared. So when you feel laughter or anything else that's joyful, you also feel that in your body, or you get your goosebumps. I mean, that's how fast your body responds. It responds to you exactly the same way for everything else. So, Andrea, you could be, I don't care where you're at this red hot moment, you can reach your goal. All of you with weight goals can have it easily happen and just be thrilled off your butts with the results if you just start getting happy. Period.
Okay.
And start acting like the person you think you're going to be when you lose the weight or you get toned or however you're really looking at it, sick and slim. Don't trip on it. One of the great things is, so what? You're a few pounds overweight. Really? Stop making such a big deal out of it. It's not a big deal.
I'll tell you what's the big deal. This is what I find, and I've noticed it with other people. If it's you that you're focused on, you're the one that sees it all or feels it. Most people are not even close to seeing or feeling the way you think you might be looking. Really. I'm putting you on the spot, Gina, but I'm thinking, my God, I can't think of anybody with a more perfect body. But she's very in tune with the pieces. I've not heard a soul I've ever talked to that knows Gina and has seen Gina that doesn't think she's got perfect body, honey.
Thank you. That brings up a good point, because so much of what we place on our body is all judgment.
It is.
Ugh. It's all judgment, and it's all about we're focused on usually what other people are going to think of us, and if we're also adding on to that, what they're going to make up about is who we are. It means something if you're overweight, or if it means something. It means something about you, and that's not true. So one of the things I would look at, and this goes not just for physical, the way that you look, but also the inside of your body, I would start looking at the rules that you make up about your body. Like, the only way to fix my back and get aligned is I need surgery. I've heard that one so many times, it just makes me want to scream.
Oh, let me just speak to that one. I mean, I spent, you know, a couple of years or so here with that, and everyone... Robin was seeing was saying, you've got to have surgery. You must have surgery. This is not going to go away, and it's just going to get worse, and there's only a couple of things we can do to fend off the surgery, but eventually you're going to have to come in here. This man never got surgery. He never got surgery. It did take years. It took a long time, and yet his focus was on getting well without having to go through that surgery and seeing himself well. He did. He spent loads of time lying and doing visualization. If anybody else had come in and seen the amount of time that he was lying around, what looked like doing nothing, they might have said, oh, somebody needs to help him. He's not living life, and he must be depressed. I mean, you could see all kinds of perspectives of what was going on, which wasn't the case. Now, of course, he wasn't feeling good about it, and it wasn't like we were living la-di-da, isn't this wonderful, and you're just going to come out of it. There was a lot of anxiety around this, but he was so determined to have this happen, and today he's walking around and even goes jogging with me. He's never had the surgery. Never.
So there's a couple of things I want to speak to here, and that is, one, yeah, I mean, really, you can get to a place of health without any help. The second is, do the path of least resistance, whatever feels easier, once you know the laws of attraction. Sometimes we use them to beat ourselves up with. For instance, I had a friend who very much knew the laws of attraction, and all of a sudden she had these allergy problems. And so she was getting so frustrated by it, and she refused to take any medication because she was just like, I can make it go away. But she was in such a place of resistance and so mad at herself for attracting this that she was in a lot of pain. And finally, someone told her, you know what? We were tired of listening to her whine about it. We said, take the darn pill. And she did, and she had instant relief. But it's like, look for the path of least resistance. I use essential oils. Why do the essential oils work? Because I think they will. That's the only reason they work. And sometimes it's best to go to a doctor. It's the path of least resistance. So always look at what's going to be your quickest fix, not what you should be able to do.
That's just like the example of the woman who her mother-in-law offered to pay for the surgery for her eyes because she wore like Coke bottle lenses, and she was an underwater photographer. So clearly this is a major thing for her. And her mother-in-law said, look, you know, let's just go take care of this once and for all. They got this new surgery out now, and it'll take all of that away. And she asked Abraham, well, why? She says, it feels to me like I should be able to do this myself. And Abraham says, what are you doing to yourself? He said, mass consciousness has brought the ability to have the technology and the medicine and the new things that keep coming forth because we're asking for it. And if you think that you shouldn't use surgery, then you should throw your stove out and sit in your backyard and rub sticks together to cook your meal this week. In other words, embrace what's here if it works for you. As Gina's saying, whatever it is the path of least resistance. And if you would prefer that it not have to go that way, then relax into knowing that you can have it the way you want it. I had glasses. It wasn't terrible, but I did need glasses. And eventually I had decided, I was already setting the appointments to have the RK surgery that had come out at the time. And I was constantly losing my glasses, and they were extremely expensive glasses. And I decided that having the surgery was going to be almost half of what I'd already paid in glasses. So it would be better for me to get it. And then I lost yet another pair of glasses, and I said, I'm not going to go spend money to replace these glasses knowing I'm going to have this surgery. You know what? I never did have the surgery, yet I've never put another glasses on. So it can be done.
It's about expecting.
Exactly.
And you're going to have to get so excited as if you were going to win the lottery jackpot. I mean, really, you have to get so excited about having that result that you want with your body that you're just any day now, it's like any moment, and you don't get upset when it doesn't go, any moment.
It's in progress.
I didn't have a menstrual cycle for, oh gosh, probably 2 years. It didn't really bother me. I wasn't in a relationship. I kind of thought it was cool that I didn't have to deal with it. I had gone to a few doctors. Nobody could figure anything out, and so it was like, well, I don't know what's up with that. Nobody could tell me anything, so I just let it go, and then I got into a relationship, and I thought, you know, it'd be kind of nice to know that everything's working properly in case I marry this person. I want to have children. So I thought, duh. I mean, I'd already been teaching the prosperity game. It hadn't even occurred to me to use the laws of attraction to call it forth. Every day, I just knew. Can't wait to start my period. Now, whoever thought you'd be excited about having that, right?
Only Gina.
Every day I was excited, and lo and behold, within probably about 2 weeks, and I had my menstrual cycle, and from then on, it has been perfectly on time. But I got excited about it, and I really was like, okay, here it comes. So, and you know, there's a few times I was fooled. I thought it was here, and then I forgot, and I'd eaten beets that day. And it was like, oh, that's not really my menstrual cycle. And so you just have to keep going no matter what, any day. It's obviously the same with all of your goals. But you are so much more in control of your body than you even think. And it's really just about expecting great results.
And notice, it's expecting the results and going to the end result, not figuring out the how. So if whatever you're doing doesn't feel good, or you're doing it because you feel you should, because that's what it's going to take to make it the way you want it, let it go and just go back to the end result. Maura, just talking about the lower back pain you're having, or any of you that might have pain, rather than assuming it's something wrong, assume your body is realigning. It's only a perspective. Everything is about perspective.
And you don't need to figure out why anything happens. Like right now, I don't remember the last time I was sick, but yesterday I was just knocked on my butt. Who cares? I don't need to figure out what sort of resistance caused it, because then if I go to figuring it out, guess where I'll be back focused. It doesn't really matter. It's just a signal to me that I was in some sort of resistance. And just to start getting into a place of allowing. Who cares why you got something or what created it? It actually is irrelevant, and it doesn't matter.
And honor yourself when you're in that place. And like Gina called and says, look, I don't even want to get out of bed. I don't want to do anything. And I'm thinking, well, honor that. You know, go back to sleep. Sleep all day if you have to. It doesn't really matter. But honor where your body is, because in that moment it's also realigning, but it's telling you what it needs. And it might be to slow down, or it might be to stop the world and get off for a minute.
Does anybody need coaching, even though you know mentally what to do, you just can't get your mind wrapped around it?
This is Nancy. I guess what comes up for me in all of this is, once again, it's like, you know, I really appreciate what you said about your friend that had the allergies. It's like, what is the path of least resistance? What's the easiest thing? I mean, sometimes we fight so hard. And I feel like right now for me, I'm kind of at that place. I have an old illness that's kind of sprung up again, and it's like I have this decision to make about whether I actually start taking this drug that I took for a long time, which actually helped a lot and actually gave me some relief, but it also had all these side effects that I tolerated.
First of all, you can set the intention that you won't have side effects. You can also use it as people would for a diet. You know, some people will get on a diet to like sort of jumpstart the weight loss, and then they'll go to a more balanced diet, but they needed something to get them going.
Yeah.
I mean,
but it could be temporary. Yeah.
If it works, that's just like me. I had a broken elbow, and I didn't go to the hospital until the next day.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I'm going to be fine. And they said, are you kidding me? You're getting surgery, sister. No, why wouldn't you do the thing that would make you feel better?
You know, I guess the thing is that my desire to do it in a different way. I guess this feeling of so wanting to commit that actually that my body can make the change on its own. And I guess this feeling, I have to be honest with you, this feeling of failure.
That's what's holding you back right there.
Yeah. I feel like I failed somehow. That I actually have to take this medicine, and that if I actually do take it, I need to, like, totally line up with taking it. I mean, I don't want to take it and go out of a sense of failure. I don't know.
Or it won't serve you to do that. So definitely the first thing is to get in alignment with whatever you choose.
Right.
And this is when Abraham says, hey, you just make a decision and make it right.
Right.
This is not about failure. This is about what's relief. I mean, I'm ready to run down to go buy some cough syrup right now. Well, nothing's working. I need something for this throat right now. Who cares?
Path of least resistance. Path of most allowance.
I need relief, don't you?
Yeah.
And you can, what you can also do is let the contrast, okay, so maybe if that medication wasn't perfect, let me see if there's something else out there.
Yeah. Okay, you know, thank you.
That's a perfect example too, Gina, because we had someone who's in our mastermind with us who's had loads of problems with her hips and has tried just about everything, and I don't know how she got to what she did, but she really wanted the relief, and she was led from one thing to the other. It seemed like, if I remember, it was something natural in this case because she'd been trying everything else, but she found it. There was no way she would have done that by basing it on what she does know.
It's yoga.
She was led. Oh, what? It's the Bikram yoga. Yes, of course. Hello.
Uh-oh.
Yes.
She started doing something she loved, and her hip stuff's gone away, and she just looks friggin' hotter than I've ever seen her. And she's happy. She loves it, and she just was led to the thing that made her feel best.
Okay.
By the way, the faster that you can get yourself some relief, and that's the same thing to you, Andrea, why we're saying, you know, don't look in the mirror.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as you can get your attention off it just for a little bit to create some allowing, things will start moving. So if you can get some medication to numb the pain, don't want to keep reactivating the same old vibration around whatever's going on for you, get your attention off it is the best way possible.
Let me tell you a great process to use for all of this, the 68-second process.
Mm.
That is one of the best tools for any of this kind of stuff. I use it a lot. And for me, it's usually just before I go to bed at night. I'm in a very relaxed state, and I'll think, oh, what would I like to 68 seconds around? And it's very powerful.
And if you catch yourself doing a habit that you know activates the vibration, stop it.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to give you a few examples around this. One is I had gained a lot of weight, not a lot, but for me, I had to go up a couple of clothes sizes, and I stopped doing anything that reminded me. Like, I stopped wearing anything that was tight. I didn't wear it because I didn't want to be reminded that I was not in a place where I wanted to be. When I was trying to cut the habit of analyzing my food, I made myself, I cannot tell you, it was like quitting smoking for some people, I guess this is what it was like for me, to stop looking at the labels on food. Because it would reactivate that I needed to watch out for something or else I was going to get fat. So I stopped doing things that would activate the vibration, anything that reminded me of where I didn't want to be. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Maura, don't put yourself in a position where you feel the back pain. Get in comfortable positions.
Mm-hmm.
Because all it does is, you know, oh, I have back pain, I have back pain, I have back pain, which attracts back pain.
This is Sherry. Mm-hmm. I've recently lost weight. I've plateaued. I want to lose some more.
Okay.
But I also just had some energy work done today. I'm having a lot of pain in my right arm for about a year now, and I know my body's telling me something. So I guess not only would I want to be healthier, but I want to understand and hear the messages that my body's giving me.
That's a great one. I'm blown away by that. That's awesome.
Well, just... Frank, blown you away. That makes my day.
So, Frank, just listen to your ears.
That's a good thing. That's my mom. Yeah.
Uh-huh. What are you not hearing that you
should
be hearing?
It's true. That's exactly what it is. What am I not hearing?
With my arm, I've been trying to think, what other case would my arm be hurting about? And if I were poised and ready to fight, those muscles are tense. I've also been feeling like if I were playing tug of war, these are the muscles that would hurt.
Okay, so what I want you all to do, if you're going to ask your body for what it's telling you, which is actually a really great exercise,
mm-hmm.
is to get out of the analyzation mode.
Mm.
And what you will sit down and do is to ask your body to speak to you and really ask it specific questions, just like you would ask the universe if you were looking for some insight, and then just receive the answer. If you don't receive the answer, know that it will come, and then get your attention off of it. You're looking to feel better, not necessarily where did this come from. You all know the stress points in your life. You all know the things that you think about that don't feel good. And bottom line, no matter what kind of pain you're feeling, it is because of thoughts that don't feel good.
Mm-hmm.
It's not important to figure out why, unless you seriously think that you're in a state of bliss and you just don't understand why you have an ache or a pain or something.
There's also an assumption that when you have an ache or a pain that there's something wrong. And who says that? Who says it's something wrong? Who says it's not your body just realigning itself? So all of you, notice where your focus goes on these things. Is it coming from an assumption of the best or the worst?
Mm-hmm.
And all that is law of attraction at its simplest form, which is what I'm focused on and the emotional charge I have around it is what I'm getting more of.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
You see that? Easy to stumble around that one on something like this because usually, well, if we're out of alignment, then that's when there is illness. And so if something doesn't feel good, we assume that there's something wrong. Now, for you, Frank,
yes.
You were saying that it wasn't as bad as it has been.
Yeah.
What's changed?
I would say that I'm just not itching it as frequently. I'll take my mind off it and focus on something else.
And notice how powerfully that works.
Yeah, it does.
So it's really about your habit of thought about it at this point, from what I can tell.
Yeah, right.
There's been a vibration that
right.
I have something wrong with my ears. I have something wrong with my ears.
Yeah, you've already proven that it's gotten better. So you already have your answer, believe it or not.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of now assuming the best and putting your mind on other things.
Yeah.
And before you know it, you'll be a long time and you'll go, my gosh, I don't even remember the last time I had this thing
mm-hmm.
with my ear.
Mm-hmm.
Great place to play and practice, you know.
Yeah, how good my legs would feel being thinner. And I'm 150 now, and I feel so great having thinner legs. No kidding. I know it's not a lot of weight, but for me, it was a big deal to get to that point where I just kept focusing on what I liked about where I was going.
Yes, and that is the secret. It's not about the food that you're putting in your mouth. It's
mm-hmm.
not about what you're eating or drinking. It's not about the exercise. Unless you choose to put the focus there.
And if you believe in the method that you're choosing.
That's right.
I just want to relate this for a second, because everything Eva's talking about around weight is the same for any other health issue that you have going on, because sometimes we tend to focus on what's the right solution, what's the right medication, what's the right diet, what's the right exercise plan, when all of those things, believe it or not, are irrelevant. The only reason they ever work is because you believe that they will.
Yeah, right.
So
absolutely.
If you feel inspired to a solution, whether
that's
it's
different.
Yeah, like I love working out. but I hate, will not do it. I don't like to run, treadmill, stair step, or none of that. I cannot stand doing aerobic activity unless it's like in a sport or I'm walking. So I just never do those. And I used to force myself to do those until one day I realized, oh, I hate doing this, so I'm probably not getting my results from it anyways. But I feel compelled to lift weights because I love it, not because I think I'm going to lose weight from it. If I was in resistance doing anything, whether it's a treatment, going to the chiropractor, if I was in resistance, it won't work anyways. Remember, solutions should still come from inspired action, too.
This is Sherry. I've already sort of opened my soul already. But what I've noticed when I get focused around some of my goals that aren't health-related, my health gremlins come up in the oddest places. Like, I will start really focusing and getting fearful around work, and all of a sudden I'll hear the "you're fat" gremlin. And there seems to be a disconnect. But it's a really big pattern for me. Partly I'm looking to see if I'm alone in that, and also just, so then I'm kind of caught off guard. I'm ready, armed and ready to talk about, I don't think I'm dealing with a health issue.
Well, what's happening is remember that thoughts are in the attraction mode too. So if you think one negative thought,
mm-hmm.
it's just an open door for more to come in. So it's like a gremlin fest.
And they'll come through the path of least resistance. So if you have some vibration preferring to be thinner or,
uh-huh.
having those moments, then in those places where you would fall into some negative vibration, it'd be easy for that to seep in.
Other crap comes in.
I don't know if this class is the one where I talked about the gal who, here in San Francisco, who lives here and has gone over these bridges constantly, never had any issues, and one day she went into such an anxiety attack she thought she was going to have to pull over and get into the floorboard of her car, and she couldn't understand why in the world she all of a sudden got these anxiety attacks coming over the bridge. And she posed that question to Abraham, and Abraham said, well, after what had been going on in her life, and by the time it was over, the fact was that there had been some burglaries in her neighborhood, and they were feeling incredibly vulnerable in that neighborhood. This is not a neighborhood that normally these things would happen in. So there were these alerts, and there were security was going up and down the street during the day and night, and so there was a place of vulnerability. And as she was going over the bridge, these bridges have people who are tourists that come over all the time, that the bridges are scary. And she tapped into a vibration of that energy. So it didn't seem like it made any sense at the time, but the truth was she was feeling scared and vulnerable, and people who have been scared shitless going over these bridges, she tapped into that at that time.
Okay.
I have a burning learning.
Yes.
I am still not motivated to do the prosperity checkbook.
Okay, and what's the burning learning?
What am I going to do with the money? Like, what am I going to do with it? Like, I'm stuck. I'm amazed that I don't want to go spend fake money.
Well, I think that one of the telltale signs is this whole sentence of fake money.
Yeah,
like,
that's true.
In other words, why would I want to spend my time spending fake money? How about looking at it this way? How would you like to spend your time really spending true energy that's reflecting what that kind of energy coming back to you?
Well, I like that.
Well, that's what this whole game is about.
Got it. I'm on that, baby.
You're so easy, Frank.
I am. Thank you.
I have to say that I love that it was the man who had difficulty spending money.
Yeah.
Yes, you'll go down in history now, Frank.
All right. I'm down.
Now, does anybody else have any other particular area? I just want to make sure that everything's applying that we're saying. I'm talking a lot about body weight.
Can I give an example of how it's worked for me?
Mm-hmm.
This is Mary. You were talking about medicine and so on. It's like I have a belief, first of all, that I don't get sick. So I hardly ever get sick. But if it starts to feel like a cold or something coming on, I take echinacea, and it strengthens your immune system, and it fights it off. So if I start to feel just the least bit something, I go take some echinacea, and I just don't get sick. And I'm clear that it's because I believe that I won't.
And also, what's your vibration around the echinacea?
Oh, I'm taking echinacea. It's going to be fine.
Mm-hmm. And there's also a collective belief around that.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, a lot of people believe that.
I got it from someone else who believed it. And I tell my friends, and they try it, and it works. And I mean, I completely believe it. And I'm clear that the reason it works is because I believe it.
Isn't that a trip, you guys? I really am so completely fascinated, particularly around health issues, anything to do with health. about how it's only what you believe. Isn't that amazing? You could eat cheesecake every day and lose weight. Isn't that amazing?
That's what I'm thinking. Like, as you're talking about this, like, look at my belief around echinacea and what it does for me. I see some other ways that I could apply that to some other things.
Also, all of you can change. Let's look at wrinkles for a moment. You can change the appearance of your body. You can change anything about it just by believing so. Like, I don't expect my legs to look any different than they ever did in high school. I just don't. It doesn't even occur to me that they wouldn't. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And to me, they look the same. It doesn't even occur to me that I would ever age. I can't imagine it. Now, might I look a little bit more mature? Maybe. People see Eva's picture, and my bookkeeper came over yesterday, and she saw a picture of Eva sitting there, and she goes, "Oh, you guys look exactly like sisters." I said, maybe because that's black and white. Her skin color is very different than mine.
Mm-hmm.
But Eva looks so amazingly young compared to other people look her age. And it's because she's totally, I mean, she fully believes in...
happy, healthy, wealthy, vital, and alive.
You can change anything. You're not stuck with anything. You're not stuck with a condition, by the way, either. You're stuck with no condition. I have been diagnosed with the kind of thing that people say that you have forever. You can't get rid of it. Gone. So there's nothing you have to tolerate. If you have arthritis, if you have things like, oh yeah, every time I do this, it hurts my, ankle. You stop it. That's a bad habit. You can break that pattern of belief. I mean, I just really love to push you out to the limits of, you don't have to tolerate anything and really open up the magical box of absolute perfect health.
I got an Abe quote recently, and it was Esther, something like, that when you die, you can die without drama.
Yes.
And just,
oh, wow.
Just leave. And yes. It said, what she believes is like, happy, healthy, happy, healthy, happy, healthy, happy, healthy, happy, healthy, dead.
That's true.
Isn't that great?
And the same thing, you all don't have to have drama about your health, your current health, or the way that you look. Like, stop it. That's a bad habit.
Well, this is more one thing. I think I shared this with Mary, but maybe not to the group. I decided what I would no longer tolerate is eating so-called healthy foods, even though I don't like them.
Yeah, no kidding.
I enjoy everything I eat. Do I really enjoy this little salmon burger that's supposed to be good for my skin? No. I stopped buying these little things at the health food store.
Amen.
And I'm still eating healthy. I'm eating really a wide variety of foods, and everything's good. But it's like, what would it be like to look forward to a meal because I'm going to enjoy it, not going, mm-hmm. Oh, this is what I have to have because it balances out to what's good for me.
Now that will emerge your ideal body.
Yeah, because you know what? That's added so much more enjoyment to my day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but it's funny. It was really fun just not going to the store and not getting that stuff anymore.
Good for you, because you know what?
Yeah.
You just got to enjoy what you eat, period. Once in a great while, like maybe every few months, I'll have something with fruit in it. I just haven't had the craving in years, like 2 years.
Uh-huh.
I just don't eat fruit. And I keep thinking, well, someday I might get the craving again.
and it's fine.
It doesn't matter.
It is. I mean, just trust your body and eat whatever it is you're wanting to eat, and the body will create whatever it needs to create to give you the body you want. And you're giving it so many different nutrients and chemical different pieces that it now can create what it needs that even doctors don't understand at this point. So it's just trusting that and feeling good about it. I know I went through about 3 or 4 day period where I ate nothing but potatoes. There was no rhyme or reason for it, but it's all I wanted and it's all I ate, and then I was done.
Are you Irish?
Am I Irish? Actually, I am Scottish Irish.
Maybe the famine. Who knows? You're channeling that.
Funny.
I know. No, it's been so freeing.
Yes.
It's just so much fun. There's a book mentioned to Mary that I ordered. It's called French Women Don't Get Fat.
Mm. Yeah, I saw a review on that.
Did you? It sounded hilarious. Croissants and cappuccinos.
Because the whole thing is about enjoying your meal.
Yeah.
Okay, ladies and gents. The homework is really good in the discovery section of the book for lesson number 7. And just be kind of conscious about your rules that you've made up about your body, your health, or look at what you're expecting from your body. And do you want it to be even better? I would love to see you go really outside the box about how good it can get with your body, how much energy you can attract, how great you want to look, how good your whole system is working in every way.
Have fun with it. Have fun with it. Have fun.
Have a great week.
Thank you.
Bye, everybody.
Thank you.